Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you today. We are broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall. Head up here and watch the Jets-Dolphins or the Bengals-Broncos Monday Night Football games tonight. Plus, you can find out more details on Circus' giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game in a couple of weeks. Now, the Tennessee Titans. Shocker. They lose again. 26-0 to the Houston Texans. And I do want to start the show, guys, by giving the Titans a little credit for something. We don't do that a lot, so I want to take this moment to, I don't know if praise is the right word, but to give the Titans credit for something. Each week, they present us with new lows, and I appreciate that. So...
Wow.
Well, okay.
Are you from the Delta House? From the Animal House?
Hear me out.
After the toga party, that was what they said. Hey, how was the party? Oh, it was great. A new low.
It is an appropriate way to think about this football team, but this is what I mean. If you thought after last week when the Titans were blown out at home by the Indianapolis Colts that that was rock bottom, the Titans said, hold up, wait a minute. Watch what we do this Sunday against the Houston Texans.
Hold my beer.
Exactly. So I know that there's a reaction to yesterday's game. And I know a lot of Titans fans have said, this is rock bottom. Well, guess what, guys? Wait until next week, because I am confident that the Tennessee Titans will find out another way to reach even newer depths. So I want to give the Titans credit for that. Each week, I think they've hit a new low, and then they one-up themselves. So I do want to start the show by giving the Titans props for that.
Boy, very sarcastic.
Wow, man.
Goodness.
Aren't you in a good mood, huh?
Yeah.
I actually am in a great mood today.
Wow. I mean, listen, for some people, yes, this may be a new low. For others... it's just a continued whatever the word is for lower than low. I guess it's just low, I guess.
What's lower than being low?
Low.
Andre 3000 once asked, what's cooler than being cool?
Yeah.
Ice cold. What's lower than being low? I don't know the answer.
Exactly. There you go. So there are some fans that say, hey, listen, yes, I haven't seen it this bad, and other fans that say, listen, it's been this bad for a while. So, you know, I just want my team to get out of it. This team right now, and this is why I know everybody's screaming for Brian Callahan's job. Everybody. I mean, I don't think you can turn on a station on our show or tweet that has anything to do with the Tennessee Titans that they are not saying fire this guy. And listen, they may just as well be right in this situation. But my thing is, who do you expect could coach this team? This team, I thought this team, well, I knew this team wasn't good, like from a talent standpoint, from top to bottom. I knew this team had some work to be done, and I think everybody understood that, and everybody was on board with that. But what is making this bad, where I think that this is just, I don't know what they're doing in New Orleans or any other 0-3 or 0-4 team organization. I'm just looking at what the Tennessee Titans are doing. Like I say all the time, I don't care what the student next to you is doing, Bailey or DJ. I only care about what you're doing, okay? I knew this roster was bad. But what makes it worse is the people that you depended on aren't playing well. Outside of Jeffrey Simmons and maybe Pollard, no one else that you have counted on is playing. Either they're not playing well or they're not playing at all. put that on top of a roster that isn't good already. And I know a lot of people want Brian Callahan to be fired. I'm not – listen, they fire and fire them, they keep them, they keep them. I'm just looking at it for what it's worth. This roster isn't good, and it goes from being not good to a dumpster fire or ass with what your quarterback said when your top players, all of them, not one or two of them, but the guys that you depend on, they're not playing well. Outside of Jeffrey Simmons and Pollard and Skoronski, there's not many people that are playing well on this team. McQuarrie is playing well, but outside of that, and this is why I'm just upset. And again, I'm not calling for his firing. This is why I'm upset. Because you took yourself, or the organization sent you out, as they have before. I'm not putting this on Amy. I'm putting this on the two people above the quarterback, meaning the head coach. They put you out there after they had just traded a pivotal part of your defense. You just traded them for what? Nothing. On a team that's already struggling. Listen, I understand and I get why you did it. But then you trout your coach out there to have to explain, and he says, well, we got people better or ready to. And then I look Sunday, and where are those people? Where are they? You said there are guys ready to step up. No one stepped up. And then the guy that you depended on in the secondary got his ass roasted. He may have played well in certain spots, but when he had to come up big, he didn't. That's the thing. Great players come up big when they need to. Elite players come up. They may not make the play all the time, but then when they need to be called upon, they make the play that needs to be made, whether you're on offense or defense. Jeffrey Simmons yesterday, he made the play when they needed the play to be made. So when you call somebody out, you better be able to back that stuff up. And you didn't. That's what I'm talking about. I knew this roster wasn't as good. But I thought, man, if those top players, Snead and those guys, if they hold on, and if those guys play well, this team has a chance. Well, damn it, they're not. Again, outside of Jeffrey Simmons, Pollard, McQuarrie, Skoronski, how many other guys are playing well? Hooker, you just gave him a contract, and he's not playing well. So y'all can scream about firing Brian Callahan. That's easy. That's low cutting fruit. Take the fruit. It's there. Eat it. But it's a bigger problem. This is bigger than Brian Callahan. I remind me of New Jack City. When he said, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than me. Oh, well, I'm going to start telling on everybody. And that's what's happening. It's bigger than Brian Callahan. It is.
I agree. You know me. I've taken the macro approach from the start here. I keep referencing the drafts between 2020 and 2023, where your three best players in four drafts are the following: Chika Okonkwo, Roger McCreary, and heck, I can't even remember the third guy.
Was it Peter? Peter?
No, Skoronski's 2024.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're right. 2023 is Skoronski. So Skoronski, Okonkwo, McCreary are your best three for 4 years of drafting. Now that's think about 4 years of your life, your 4 years of college, your 4 years of high school. That's a long time to come up with three players and nothing else for your foundation. So Brian Callahan is, like you said, the low-hanging fruit. He's the easy, easy target for everybody to say, well, it must be him. They are not losing because of him. Now, that being said, they don't look like a well-coached team.
Yeah.
So, and yesterday is a great example. It was not operational, or they didn't have any of the big gaffes, but they're just not able to put together an overachieving performance to get deep into the fourth quarter with a chance to win. They have the same pattern. They're able to hang around in a game. They should have been tied or ahead. They also got screwed on one of the worst calls I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Aziz Alshaier, who should be the poster boy walking around of, this guy's been called many times before for targeting unnecessary roughness.
That was blatant.
It's the most blatant two-hand, both hands hit him in the head, and they don't call that? What? And so that's a bad break, which they can ill afford to have any of, right? But they're just not able to overcome any adversity, to scheme their way, trick their way. They tried to run a couple trick plays. They both looked awful. They both were snuffed out immediately and were losses. So they're stuck. This is a hard, hard thing. And that's why people are human. I don't know what you're supposed to say if you're Brian Callahan, and he also doesn't do himself any favors by not being able to take the tough questions. I'm not sure what you're supposed to say, no matter what you say. What he can't say is, this roster is really not capable of winning much right now. We're trying to do the best we can with what we have. I'm sure he wants to call some people out. Like you said, the guys that are supposed to help keep them afloat and keep them more competitive and respectable are underachieving. I just don't know how you put all of that on one guy.
You can hear it in his voice. You can. He's frustrated. He knows that this team, especially now that their better players aren't playing up the standard, at least all majority of them. There's, again, I named out the two or three, three or four that have been playing well, but the rest of them hadn't held up their end of the bargain, or they're not on the field. But I think he understands it. He knows that there's nothing he can do about it. He said, listen, ain't nobody coming to save us. This is our locker room right here. This is all we got. And he understands that if they're going to win any games, it's going to have to be those veteran guys that finally just start competing. Compete. I'm looking at L'Jarius Sneed, and listen, damn good player in Kansas City. I'm not going to take it a champion. I'm not going to take that away from him. He's not playing well for whatever reason. If he wanted to debate that with me, I'd debate it all day long. He's not playing well. And then when you get in front of a camera, your first mechanism is a defense mechanism. Well, did you not watch all other plays? They're asking you about one specific play or plays after you came out of left field during the week and said, Nico, who? I get it, it's gamesmanship. I understand that. But again, your coach said, if you're going to say that, you got to back it up. You didn't back it up, and then you get defensive when a question is asked of you. I get it. PK, he may make everybody get defensive. I don't know. But your first thought is to get defensive instead of saying, you know what, I'm not playing well. Don't let your coach or your quarterback be the guy that says, I'm not playing well or I'm not coaching well. Your first thing to do was, oh, did you see the other play? No, we're talking about that play.
You know what he doesn't do as well, either, Adam, which doesn't help him. And I think of Dan Campbell as an extreme example. When they were struggling early in a program that had not done any winning, he was really good at the rally the troops for his team, obviously, but also the rally the troops with the media relations. The media relations are bringing Brian Callahan even closer to the fire than it could be if he were really shrewd on how to handle some of this. There's a way to you can make the media look like the bad guy. You can stand up for your players. You can call out your players. Any of these things are tools that you can use if you're astute at how to go through it, and it's not easy no matter what. But I remember Dan Campbell many times when they were awful. He had a way of saying, we're going to get there. Dang it, there was passion there, but it was authentic. And it's just not in the DNA of Brian Callahan. That's really got very little to do with how you're a head coach, but it is one of the things that you have to address when you are the head coach. People, especially nationally, they are watching everything you say after your team is 0-4. They're going to watch that press conference. And he lost his cool for a brief moment. He caught himself. He gave an answer that I think was the right answer, but nobody's going to remember that. They're only going to remember the first sentence where he lost his cool for a second. That is life in the NFL.
Well, didn't he say, I'm not going to lose my cool?
Well, after he said, I'm not going to answer that bleep, right? I mean, you've heard it, I'm sure, 12 times, maybe more than that if you're listening to the show by now.
I will tell you what I see when I look at Brian Callahan from afar. Mm-hmm. We'll have Teron Davenport on in roughly 20 minutes. We'll ask Teron what he sees from up close. But I will tell you what I see from afar when I look at Brian Callahan. I see a defeated man with zero answers. Zero answers. I see a defeated man with zero answers. And part of me wonders if the Titans would be doing Brian Callahan a favor by relieving him of his duties. I appreciate Brian Callahan attempting to put on a brave face and answer these questions and try to spin this in the best possible way and talk about how uplifting it can be, how motivating it can be for this team at 0-4 to try to dig itself out of this hole. But y'all have watched enough football. How many 0-4 teams dig themselves out of this hole? Little to none. So we'll get more into Brian Callahan because there was a column written in Sports Illustrated about Brian Callahan that I thought was incredibly insightful, and I want to pinpoint one graph, which I will share coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We see you on the phone lines. We see your texts. We will get to them next, so hang tight. 615-737-1025. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action. From queso to kickoffs, this is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap.
What's not going right for this offense where you guys just can't get on track?
Everything from interception to a penalty to an incompletion by me, a bad ball. And then once we pass the 50, we just not continuing the drive. If we keeping the buck right now, we ass. So we 0-4. We have, at this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our games and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in, especially myself on the offensive line, from the defensive line, from the special teams to all three faces. We have to play together. We have not played together this year yet. And that's just something that, you know, we want to preach about it every day. Every day we got to do better, and we're doing that, but it has to show up on Sundays. It hasn't showed up yet, but it got to show up next week.
In case you didn't hear what Cam Ward said, and I quote, "If we keeping it a buck right now, we ass," end quote. And I can't dispute that. By the way, the Tennessee Titans may have stumbled on a gold mine, because if the Titans sell we ass shirts, they would fly off the shelves, I guarantee it. I tweeted that yesterday. I just checked. It has 1,100 likes. So Titans, that's 1,100 t-shirts saying, we ass, you could be selling. So if the Titans are looking to make a quick buck, I'm just saying, I'm keeping it a buck. You ass, just like Cam Ward said. So here is the column I mentioned in the first segment, from Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated. And I appreciate when national columnists write about the Tennessee Titans, because quite frankly, a lot of national columnists don't write about the Tennessee Titans. But I pulled a graph from this column that I think speaks volumes. And I want to know if the both of you agree with it. From Connor Orr, quote, "There are ways to behave like a head coach who is trying to remain, and there are ways to behave like a head coach who is done being a head coach. There is survival and indifference, in my," meaning Orr's, "opinion. Callahan has chosen the latter. He has chosen the path of the person who has not looked in the mirror or has not been asked to, until it has gotten far too late. And while it's obvious that he is a symptom of far larger organizational issues, we have seen coaches thrive in other toxic, politically ambiguous, or straight-up horrendous atmospheres. It's one of the job requirements." I agree with Connor Orr. I see a coach in Brian Callahan, as I said in the previous segment, who has run out of answers. And when you have run out of answers, there's truly no point of you sticking around anymore. Now, Adam Schefter went on the Pat McAfee show today. It said the Titans aren't looking to make a coaching change, but we'll see what happens if the Titans find a new low this weekend in Arizona. But Willie, your thoughts on Connor Orr's take there. Do you agree with him about Brian Callahan?
I think that's an example of what I was mentioning before we went to the break, in that the national media is watching to see how you're going to handle adversity. And Connor Orr is seeing a guy that doesn't look like he is rising to the moment. Now let's contrast what Connor Orr saw from Brian Callahan and what we just heard from Cam Ward. That's the kind of passion. That's what I think people want to see, is the right channel. And this is, look, you could be good at this and not a good player or a coach, but it does mean something how you handle the media. That's something you learn at a very early age as a player and as a journalist, and I've been on both sides of it. But I love Cam Ward's answer. He starts off by rattling off about three things, D-May, that he didn't do very well, that he believes he's got to do better. There's passion. There's urgency. There is being dissatisfied. Mm-hmm. And it's overall a feeling that you get, right? It's not the exact words that you use, even though you're right, Adam, they probably could sell some T-shirts. But Callahan doesn't seem to be able to find that note, right? And I do wonder how that comes across when he's addressing the team going through these tough times. I don't know that there's any coach that could win with this group. It is really hard, especially with the injuries. They can't block, and they can't get any heat from the edges. Those two things alone. Forget about all the other weaknesses on their roster. But when you can't block, pass protect, and you can't put any heat on the quarterback to speak of from the edges, that is putting you way behind the eight ball, regardless of how well coached you are. But I'm not sure he's making it any better.
Connor Orr's article, whether he's coaching, whether he's conceited and just saying, hey, listen, I'm throwing my hands up, it is what it is, or whether he's continuing to fight, there's this sort of, I don't think you can say either way. Because on one hand, he's screaming, you know, we need to play better. I need to coach better. I still believe in this team. But then on the other hand, you know, they ask him about the coaching situation and, you know, if he's, you know, thinking about being fired. And he sort of gave this nonchalant answer. So I don't agree with Connor Orr. I don't think he has basically conceded. I think he understands where this team is at, and I think he's going to continue to coach hard because that's a reflection of him. It's not about getting another head coaching job. It's about getting another OC job. And if they fail, you can't, you know, that you just bagging it in right now. You think somebody else going to give you a job at that position, whether it be a coordinator or head coach, no. So when Connor Orr says he believes Brian Callahan is second in the ladder, I don't think that's the case. I just think, you know, he understands where this roster is. He's going to continue to fight, just like those players. But he understands that, listen, I can't worry about getting fired. You know, if they do it, then they do it. I don't know what to tell you. I just got to worry about winning football games. So to say he's not, you know, fighting for his team, I think he's genuine when he says those things. I think he is fighting for his team. But he's not a yeller or a screamer. So it doesn't come. You listen to Michael McDaniels down at in Miami. I'm sure he's very upset, and I'm sure they're having the same talks that we're having here. But he's not a guy that's a screamer and a yeller. So his disappointment may look a little bit different. Or his frustration may look a little bit different. Brian looks different from, say, a Vrabel or a Dan Campbell. But I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't want to win. He's just not doing a good job.
I agree.
Brian on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, the Wee Ass shirt would pair well with the trash bags fans will be wearing shortly. That could be true. I'm telling you, Titans, if you sell a shirt with the flaming thumbtack that says, Wee Ass, I'm buying one. I can guarantee you one. I have more than 1,000 people who liked my tweet yesterday. So I'm just telling you, You're missing a great opportunity.
Well, they can't put the thumbtag on there.
You can do the opportunity.
They can't put the thumbtag on there.
Well, I mean, the Titans can if they make an officially licensed
but the Titans are not going to do that.
Well, they're missing out.
Well, what about your spirit of entrepreneurship in college? There was always that guy in the dorm that had the unlicensed thing.
There are plenty.
There was a whole 30 for 30, Catholics versus convicts.
There are
plenty. The guy got thrown off the basketball team because of that.
Great. Local
you're right.
Sportswear companies. And if you own one of those companies and you are listening, I am telling you, you will make a killing with a We Ass shirt with Cam Ward's face on it or something along those lines. Let's go to Dustin in Hopkinsville, who has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Dustin, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey.
So, what's up? First of all, before I even start my little tyrant. I do want to say I do think Brian Callahan is probably a great man. He's not shown me anything where he's not a good person, but I can't apologize for saying he's not a good coach, and I'll preach it till the cows come home. First off, I got a couple of notes here. Let me pull this up.
Okay, can you do it in 60 seconds?
I can.
Let's go.
So you say he would be relieved. I worked at CSX as a conductor. It's between the ears where it's written in blood the rules are. And guys who can't do the job when the train master, which is the manager, comes out and fires them, I see the relief on their face. They're so glad because they just can't cut it. I think that is exactly where Callahan is, all right? All right, and I think right now is the best time to cut ties with Callahan, Daddy Callahan, Brinker, and bring in McCarthy or Gruden, because at the end of the year, there's going to be a lot more names in the hat. And who's to say there's not another team in a position looking at us right now saying, let's get them before they do. All right? Now, Vrabel coached Malik Willis in a game. What was it? Tannehill was out or Levis?
I don't remember
who, but the man threw four passes. We ran Derrick Henry. Guess who won that game? The Titans. How do you throw four complete passes and win a game? Vrabel is a dog. Callahan is not. You can't sit here and say a Vrabel special and put all the credit on one man as a coach and on one round, and then turn around and say, hey, it's not all on him. He's the leader of these men. Well, it isn't all on him. It's on Amy. She picks these leaders, and these leaders are
Thank you for the call, Dustin. We get the point. Thank you for the call, Dustin.
Quickly, let me say this.
Okay.
How did Vrabel finish his career here? He may be a good coach. I'm not saying he's not. But how did he finish
that
his career?
That game that he referenced with Malik Willis was one of his last two wins.
But he threw in a key word that Brian Callahan can't throw in, Derrick Henry. Doesn't have Derrick Henry. Doesn't have anybody close to Derrick Henry.
That is the difference.
So when you again –
He doesn't have Ryan Tannehill.
He doesn't have – but again, you shouldn't have to apologize for wanting Brian Callahan fired. That's not what I'm saying. You can say that until the cows come home. That's the way you feel as a fan. You have every right. But to sit here and say that, you know, Vrabel probably would have gotten more out of – Vrabel wasn't winning games the last year and a half. That's why he ended up getting fired. Again, I'm not – saying he's not a good coach.
And what was happening there? The roster
was
aging. The roster was crumbling. They weren't drafting well.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, fire Brian Callahan all day. But until you get to the root of the problem, which is the roster, that's why I don't agree with Connor Orr. Because he first said, well, I know a few coaches that have been in situations like, no, you haven't. I could point out every one of them, and they have not. It has taken them years. Dan Campbell, it took them years to get that team around. Okay? Look at what's going on in Carolina. They still ain't got their stuff together. Cleveland, they still ain't got their stuff together. So, yeah, there are bad teams and bad coaches in the NFL, and there are some bad organizations. But to say that, oh, you know, he hasn't seen anything happen like this before. Yes, I have. A lot of times.
It happens every year.
Exactly. So that's the part that I don't agree with.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on the Titans' 26-0 loss to the Houston Texans yesterday. By the way, the Titans' first shutout loss since October of 2019 at Denver. That was Marcus Mariota's swan song when he was replaced by Ryan Tannehill.
Mike Vrabel, by the way.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. We will be joined next by ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who, of course, was in Houston yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on with the local professional football team that's coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our show is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate right now at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who is presented each week by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Teron, before we begin, Willie has his hands up.
Moment of silence for just Teron and I, as the resident Mets fans and any other Mets fans that might be listening in our area, representing the Metropolitans. One of the saddest summers, 3.5 months of just a sinking ship that finally went down yesterday, not being able to score a run against the Marlins and getting like 7 walks, 9 chances with men in scoring position and not getting a single. So, Teron, I feel your pain. We'll have to talk and have some therapy. And pitchers and catchers will report in February. I don't know what to say.
Did we lose him?
He must be too distraught.
Teron is choked up.
He's just too distraught to talk. Yeah, I get it.
I don't blame him.
I get it.
I don't blame him.
The Mets were 21 games over 500 in mid-June.
Do we have Teron?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Teron, you were so choked up by the Mets, you couldn't find your words.
Yeah, exactly, if that's how you want to put it.
So, Teron, let's start with Cam Ward after the game yesterday. That was, at least to me, correct me if I'm wrong here, the clearest sign of frustration shown by Cam Ward so far this season, at least publicly. Should Ward's frustration sound any alarm bells inside the Titans facility?
No, why should it? It's a frustration not wanting to lose. I think that's a good thing. You want a guy to care enough to express his feelings and frustration about losing. You want a guy that's not used to doing that. I mean, if he sat up there and was laughing and smiling, everybody would be like, oh, he doesn't take it seriously. So I think it's fine. I don't think there's any issues whatsoever.
So, Teron, at the beginning of the show, and I preface this by saying I am only observing from afar. You are up close every day, so I respect and appreciate your perspective on this. From afar, I see in Brian Callahan a coach who looks defeated and seems to have zero answers. Again, that's from afar. You're around Brian Callahan on a near daily basis. What is your vibe check on Brian Callahan right now as the team falls to 0-4?
Yeah, he definitely looks like someone who's been through an excruciating experience. I'll put it that way. I don't think he's defeated, and I think hearing what he said today, when asked if there's hopelessness in the building and the way he perked up about that, I think that there's more beneath the surface beyond what we're seeing in press conferences. I don't know that for sure. I've had one or two talks with him, and I know he's dedicated to just continuing to go, and he's doing his best to navigate through the storm, but he feels that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think it was kind of enlightening when he talked about the Bengals experience and how he's no stranger to what he's going through now and how he's seen it turn around. And I think that's a good thing. Now, will it turn around? That's a different story. They obviously haven't shown many signs, if any, that it will.
Now, TD, do you think Amy understands that, and I get it, you know, Brian is not doing a good job with this team. But do you think she understands that, okay, not only is this not a good roster, has some good players, yes, but it's not a good roster. But then on top of that, the players that you depended on to keep this thing halfway afloat, majority of those guys are not playing well for whatever reason. Either they're not playing well or they're not available. Do you think she truly get that? Because if you're looking at it, yeah, everybody wants Callahan fired. But like you said, there may be a lot behind the scenes that we don't know may be going on.
Yeah, they knew coming into this that this team was not going to be a contender. Now, did they think they would be this bad? I don't know. I would imagine they understood the schedule. I mean, you look at the first two games, very tough teams, and obviously the Colts, you know, they've become something that no one thought they would be at this point. And yesterday, the Texans, they, you know, it was a matter of two teams that didn't want it for three quarters. And then the Texans woke up in the fourth and decided, hey, let's go ahead and win. So I think you look at all that, I think there's an understanding that this year was not going to be a success. But at the same time, you look at the emotions and you look at, you know, the 3 years in a row a rash decision was made. It tells you that it's very likely a fourth year a rash decision will be made. But I think it really depends on how much she empowered Chad Brinker and Berg Nyhill to kind of, you know, not right the ship, but guide the ship that she owns. I think it's more or less that.
Now, regardless of why they chose to trade Brownlee Jr., if they say he didn't fit what they were doing, great. I get that part because I understand how that can be for an organization. Having a talented guy and things just not working out the way you want it to, so you move them on. But do you think the fans, because after this week and after what Brian Callahan said, after they traded, and I think that was wrong for them to trot him up there to explain right. why they traded it. But he said we have players behind him that are ready to go, that have proven. Then the very next week you play, you get blitzed in the second half with a secondary that you came out and said was ready, but you traded away one of your better players. And I get why they traded him away, but the fans are looking at that like, man, y'all are proving once again that maybe y'all are not the outfit for this job.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know how different that yesterday's game would have been with mm-hmm. Brownlee, but I think in the long haul, it's a loss because he was one of your guys that seemed to be, you know, a cornerstone for your defense. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they felt that, you know, they weren't able to get on the same page, so to speak, and it was just a change of scenery was needed. But you look at the players behind him. Jalen Armour Davis played mostly, and I know he's a young, talented corner that just has to stay healthy. He's continuing to settle in as far as with the organization. He has a little bit of a head start, being as though he knows Denard Wilson and John Shaw, the assistant strength and speed coordinator. He trained Armour Davis at Alabama, you know, in high school in Alabama. So you do have that, but then you got Daryl Baker Jr. I just don't think this organization is in a position where they could get rid of talented players. And, I mean, even if whatever the issue was outweighed the talent, it's one of those ones where I think that formula has to be skewed when you're this lacking of talent like this roster is.
Teron Davenport is with us. And Teron, I realize people just want to vent today and they're not as interested in a lot of specifics, but a couple of interesting things that happened in the game yesterday, because people will forget it's still a 6-0 game with two missed field goals well into the third quarter.
Yeah.
And it's still 6-0, and the Houston Texans have the ball 2nd and 33. If you get a stop there, you get the ball down 6-0. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're in the game for a while. This is usually how the game goes, even the Rams yeah. game. They stay in the game for a while. Can you tell me what happened on the 2nd and 33? And I'm not just talking about Snead getting beat. But why is that a possibility for C.J. Stroud to have that option on 2nd and 33? That baffled me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had man coverage and you had a little help over top, and Nico Collins was able to get a step. And once he got that step, Snead was cooked, you know, for lack of better terms. And that's basically what happened. And
Yeah, but I'm asking why.
Making a play.
Oh, I get that. But why is that? You know Nico Collins is the one guy who can make that play on that roster. Why is there not a safety back there? Why can C.J. Stroud say, oh, there's Nico Collins, one-on-one, second and 33. I don't even have to take
really,
a five-step
really,
run. Why is that happening?
Hold that thought until tomorrow when the actual guy that can answer that question can be asked that. You know, I can't tell you why Denard Wilson or Steve Jackson, I can't tell you why they didn't have a safety over top. I can't tell you that. I can tell you what I saw happen, which is what I attempted to do.
I understand. I feel for Denard Wilson. He doesn't have the horses, and he has got no margin for error. He doesn't have edge rushers. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand. So everything you do, you have to be perfect almost with everything you call. That one just really stunned me.
But it almost looked, and tell me if I'm wrong on this one, because he almost opened up as if he was playing like a trail technique would help over the top. Because he didn't open up as if I'm playing man-to-man and I got to at least take away the deep route. It's almost he opened up as if he felt he was the underneath coverage and he had help over the top. Now, if that's the case, somebody's at fault there. Because
yeah,
that was
a miscommunication.
Exactly, there's a miscommunication.
Yeah, because to your point, you know, Snead is a guy that likes to put hands on a receiver, and he didn't do that, you know. So I wasn't sure what the whole idea was there, but, I mean, that definitely didn't happen.
A couple of the key plays, Teron, that, look, at the end of the day, the cream rises to the top, the better roster wins. But here are a couple of things that, again, could have been big swing plays. How did they miss a call on Azeez Al-Shaair, who, as we saw in his 1 year here, and we saw last year, he was suspended. How did they miss the roughing the passer on Cam Ward early in the game there?
Yeah, that was terrible. I don't know how they missed that one. I couldn't call that because it was very clear. And the thing was, it was right there on the sideline. So how the sideline official missed that is like that's inexcusable, you know, and that's an early call, you know, on the first drive. That could have made a difference, those 15 yards on that third down, you know what I mean? So I would be very frustrated. Brian Callahan said that, you know, he didn't really get an explanation. They didn't submit anything to the league or anything like that. But, you know, to me, they need to start doing that. Like, these are things that need to start happening where it's like, You tell the league, man, I'm not going for the same old foolishness, and that's basically what it is that they've been doing, right? And it's even back to Vrabel days where you talk to him on Wednesday and he'll be like, yo, Monday, and he'll be like, yo, I reached out to the league, blah, 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 blah. And it's got to continue happening.
I agree with you 100%, Teron. They should be all over that because I believe they have a reputation. Every week, you say most penalized team in the league, and for example, they get a big sack on the first drive for the Texans, and Snead is called for defensive holding way away from everything.
Yeah,
I did not agree with that call, but he has a reputation, the team has a reputation, and that completely changes the drive.
Completely changes it. I mean, there's so many times where you see penalties at the most inopportune time, and I'll be honest, it's gotten to a point now where, like, I'll see a big play, whether it's offensively or defensively, even special teams, and I'm looking for a flag.
Absolutely. Like,
absolutely. It's going to be called.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. He is presented each week by Bart Durham Injury Law, and he's fueled by Parman Energy. Teron, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it. And it's still go Mets. I'll be at the home opener regardless.
Love it, TD. I love it. I'll be back as well. I'm gonna mope for a little while, but TD, I will be back.
TD is true blue and orange. That's one thing we know about Teron Davenport. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, let's switch gears to a local football team that wins games. That would be the Vanderbilt Commodores, who defeated Utah State 55-35 on Saturday at First Bank Stadium. Vanderbilt is 5-0 for the first time since 2008. And now they are headed to Alabama as is College Game Day. College Game Day will be in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. We will welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee for what I termed last week as 4-0 Clark. We will have 4-0 Clark coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, 1025 The Game.